audiobook from 1903, named The Angel's Diary and Celestial Study of Man by Mrs. J. A. Samson Lender, receiving testimony from her daughter Mrs. Effie M. Shearer in Summerland, published this book, with her brother Charles Samson. Preface. The writers of this book pray that it may go forth upon its mission of love, bearing a message of hope, cheer and encouragement to the homes of humanity. Its teachings shall be to bring light to the world, to show men the true way to immortality, to draw the curtain that swings between the finite and the infinite, and to remove the sting of death, giving in its place the glorious reality of life beyond the tomb. Oh, readers, take to your souls its heaven-born message and profit by its teachings. Learn from its pages that life upon the physical plane is but a shadow of the glorious life beyond. Learn that the change called death is but the stepping stone to higher and grander truths than those upon the physical plane. Learn that death is but the gateway where we lay our burdens down to take up a grand work in heaven. We pray that this book may teach men to look into their own souls, and the commune with God, the Creator and Giver of all life. To those who have dear ones on the other side, look up and read the heavenly message. Your loved one has passed to that higher school of universal love and progression. In that life of glorious possibilities, the soul shall unfold like a beautiful flower in the grand light of divine love. The little child who has flown like a bird from the home nest shall be led by guardian angels in the heavenly land safe from the trials and temptations of the material world, and when its mother beholds it in the years to come, it will be no longer a child, but a being glorious in beauty and strength, an angel of immortality. To those who have struggled through the trials of physical life with but little to cheer and encourage them, there is a grand promise, the promise, all that can make life desirable in the world beyond, where things are seen as they really are, and not as they merely appear to be. We pray that the teachings of this book may furnish food for thought to all men. Not that the lesson will be the same to each reader we know, but we ask that it may do good to all, that it may lift the shadow from troubled hearts, that it may sow good seed in the soul of the unbeliever, furnishing him with food for thought, that it may give new encouragement and hope to the discouraged, and the promise of eternal health to those who have become weakened in mind and body. This is the earnest wish and desire of the authors. May it go forth and bear good results. By the authors. Angel's Diary. First Part. Chapter I. Transition. Content in this chapter. The contrast, reminiscences, the beautiful country, sensations at death, spiritual embodiment, floating, buoyancy, health, angel throng, the barren section, the world of beauty, two roads, heaven's gateway, the spheres, one night there, the home and dear brother, how boots are made. It must have been last night that I passed from earth, and now today I am in this strange and wonderful place, that charms me with its harmony, peace and beauty. In the world where I dwelt but yesterday, it was cold and cloudy and the ground was carpeted thickly with snow. Today is summer, flowers are blooming everywhere, there, air is sweet with fragrance and countless numbers of birds are flitting from tree to tree singing their songs of gladness. How strange it all seems. Shall I wake up presently and find that I have been dreaming? I hope not. I think of the dear ones that I left behind. Are they grieving for me, I wonder? Oh! If they could but know of the beautiful country that is now my abode, what strange sensations were mine as I was passing from my physical body. It seemed as though I was being gradually lifted out of a case in which I had been placed, and all the while it was as though I was passing under the influence of some anesthetic. Then the next thing I knew, I felt something snap and I stood outside of my material body that was now dead to the world. I was clothed in soft white garments and my long black hair fell far over my robe. There was a sense of buoyancy in my limbs that I had not felt since I was a little child. This was certainly interesting and I longed to investigate what was before me. I was soon floating away to where I knew not. I only knew that I felt strong, well and happy to be freed from pain. I could see many strange and beautiful sights as I floated through the air. One beautiful being that accompanied me told me that she was my guardian spirit and had been with me ever since I came into the world. The air seemed to be filled with angels and spirits. Some were going to the earth upon various missions, others were returning to the heavenly and spiritual world. The atmosphere was filled with flowers, trees and various forms of vegetation, the spiritual parts of flowers, trees and foliage of the material plane. I wanted to stop and examine everything that I saw, but as this would require too long a time, I interested myself in taking glimpses of the things that we passed. I could not measure the time, for to spiritual eyes there was no darkness, except once, and that was when we passed through the section that divides the spiritual from the material world. For a while there was nothing, absolutely nothing, and then we emerged into a beautiful region. The scenery was the most beautiful that I ever beheld, quite different from anything I had ever seen in material life. Presently we came to a region where the road branched off in two directions. I then learned that one road led to the spiritual world and the other to the heavenly regions. That which led to the heavenly realms was the more beautiful of the two, but no soul upon his first journey to the spiritual realms could pass over the path that leads to heaven, that was reserved for those who had progressed, developed and unfolded to the state of angelhood. Over its entrance gleamed a beautiful gateway that seemed to be inlaid or studded with different colored stars, and overhead in letters of fire gleamed these words, "Lay down your burdens, ye who enter here." How interesting it was to watch the people who passed on their way to the spirit world, such a stream of them, men, women and children, and all seemed to be so strong and well. The country over which I passed was very fertile. Flowers and foliage seemed to grow in abundance. The first sphere was much like the earth, only more highly spiritualized, and those who dwell in this sphere had not outgrown their material desires. Therefore, this first sphere has been created in a way to produce harmony. Those who live there must be taught and helped to progress. After they had learned the lessons of the first sphere and were desirous of improvement, they could pass into the second sphere. I found as I journeyed on, objects and conditions seemed to improve, things became more beautiful, the climate was milder and more perfect. In the lower sphere there was some degree of heat and cold and some darkness, but these conditions gradually passed away. In the fourth sphere there was a perfect climate. The fifth sphere was my destination. I found a beautiful home awaiting me there, more beautiful than anything I had ever dreamed of, while upon this material plane. I longed to investigate this new and wonderful life, and as I look out from the home to which I came only last evening, my thoughts are filled with wonder and delight. The dear little brother who passed to spirit life before I was born, I have met. He has grown into a fine, manly fellow. I think how proud his mother would be if she could see him. I believe that I shall spend many pleasant hours with him. Conditions seem so wonderful and strange, I can but marvel at the wisdom of the Creator in designing such a grand and beautiful world for his children after their trials upon the material plane. It seemed odd, but I have as yet seen no darkness in this beautiful sphere. Everything seems tinted in soft lights, yet there are no sun, moon or stars. My spiritual home is formed of spiritual material and is a brownish pink in color. It is large and imposing, set in the midst of tall trees, terraced banks and beautiful flower gardens. The interior is in keeping with the grandeur of the exterior. The rooms contain many new and wonderful things that I never saw or dreamed of before. I have discovered that in this world we do not sleep and never become weary or tired. As I sit here in this wonderful home, my mind turns to the dear ones I have left on earth. What would they think, I wonder, could they see me here? I think that they would be surprised. I must go soon to the earth plane to see my little children. They will not realize that I have left them. They are hardly old enough as yet. It seems so strange to see my thoughts produce themselves in indelible form upon sheets of spiritual paper, formed from flowers. Just to think that by the action of my own thought, I can produce a book. Well, there are many strange and wonderful things before me. I long to know more of this wonderful life, The dear brother is coming presently to take me to a beautiful affair that is going on somewhere in this grand world. I am so enraptured with the thought and am so anxious. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus. I stand in eternity, I lave in the ocean of truth, and bask in the golden sunshine of endless love and youth. Chapter 2. Content in this chapter. Anticipation, childlike joy, a ramble amidst scenes of beauty, dominant harmony, everything satisfying, the life of freedom from envy or selfishness, delightful sensations of movement, the silvery lake, novel experience, strength renewed, purity of eternal youth, family reunion, welcome, dear heart, the magnificent voice, feast of joy. How beautiful life seemed. My soul was filled with gladness as I waited for my darling brother to come to me. I was glad to see his happy, smiling face, and soon we were walking together through the beautiful country that abounds in such new and wonderful scenery. I thought to myself, it is winter upon the material plane and I have been transported suddenly into a summer land. My soul was filled with joyful anticipation of what was to come. I was like a little child who knows no sorrow. As we wandered along listening to the strains of delightful music which seemed to come from every direction, we met groups of white-robed angels talking with one another beneath the trees. Everyone seemed to have caught the harmony that predominates in the beautiful summer land. I was so happy and interested in all that I saw about me that I did not even ask my darling brother where it was that we were going. I felt content to wander on and on for any length of time amid such glorious scenes as I saw about me. Occasionally the thought occurred to me, am I dreaming, and shall I suddenly wake up to the old life far away upon the earth? Everything seemed to be so satisfying. It was beautiful to think of, to see everyone provided for and no thought of envy or selfishness in any soul. We seemed to glide over the ground, our feet never touching it. Sometimes we appeared to be floating in the air, then again we were 4 or 5 inches above the ground. It was a very delightful sensation to move in this way, quite unlike walking in the material world. I was surprised as we came to a clear, silvery lake with small flower boats gliding over the surface to find myself walking upon the water. This was another new experience and seemed quite novel to me. After walking halfway across the lake, my darling brother said, now we will walk through the water / and behold we were upon the bed of the lake below. We could look up and see the scenery above the surface of the water, and it seemed to me that in passing through this water I gained new spiritual strength, for when we emerged as dry as though we had only walked upon the land I was conscious of an improvement in my spiritual condition, and was reminded of the words, drink of the fountain of everlasting life and ye shall be white as snow. Occasionally we saw beautiful little summer houses or pagodas, covered with flowering vines, and then we would enter and view for a while the surrounding scenery. Nature certainly did look very beautiful bathed in the soft light that was sometimes rose color, sometimes blue, and then, again, the most brilliant, beautiful green that I had ever seen. We paid no heed to the lapse of time, indeed, there was no time in this beautiful world. Everybody was young and there was eternity to live in. Presently we came to a beautiful grove, where great numbers of people were assembled. The trees seemed to be hung with festoons of brilliant flowers, and roses of different colors seemed to form a carpet for the feet. I wondered what kind of a gathering or fete it might be. And presently 3 beautiful angels came forward bearing in their arms a robe formed of delicate pink roses. As they came near they threw the robe over me, saying, welcome, dear heart, and then I learned that the relatives of my father and mother for several generations back had gathered here in a reunion to celebrate the advent of a new member to the heavenly land. I was the new member and the guest of honor upon this occasion. I thought of my darling mother and wished that she might have seen me in that pink flower robe with my long black hair falling nearly to my feet. My spiritual hair is much longer and more abundant than the hair that had adorned my head in material life. Surely, I thought, it would make anybody wish to pass to this higher life could they know how wonderful it is. The festivities that followed were beautiful indeed, and there were many things that were entirely beyond the comprehension of a material mind. One beautiful angel whose name I learned to be Alice Sampson, sang most beautifully. I never in my years of life had heard such a magnificent voice. The memory of those tones will linger in my mind throughout all time. As she sang, the listeners threw beautiful flowers at her, forming a brilliant hued platform about her. It was very beautiful and inspiring, and filled me with a delight that I had never experienced. In the center of the grove, upon a table formed of white roses, was spread all sorts of spiritual food in the way of fruit, and deep flower cups held the spiritual liquid. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. St. Paul. Chapter 3. Heavenly Mansion. Content in this chapter. The honored guest, oral light or electric ether, spiritual food increases spirituality, procession of tiny angels, the grand picture in the beautiful grove, the peace of heaven, the palatial home, surpassing grandeur, the long archway fountain and flowers, moving pictures, how produced, thought or soul pictures. It was certainly very delightful to be the honored guest in such beautiful company. It seemed to me that I had never been quite so happy. The liquid and fruit that I tasted filled me with a new sensation that I had never experienced before. I was continually wondering what new surprise awaited me. I could see a soft and beautiful light, emanating from the persons about me. I learned that it was the electric ether showing the spirituality of the individuals, the light surrounding some being more than that of others. The spiritual food I learned did not build up any portion of the spiritual body, it only helped to increase the higher vibrations, making the individual more spiritual. A procession composed of tiny angels wearing flower robes and bearing festoons of flowers was very pretty indeed. I thought of the mothers whose little children had been taken to this beautiful world, and it seemed to me that if they only knew, they would not grieve so much for their little ones. There in the beautiful grove I took in the grand picture before me, the white-robed angels in their flowing hair and white, cloud-like garments, the little children floating, gliding through the air and showering down their armfuls of fragrant flowers, then the soft-tinted light that shone upon the scene, changing continually to the most beautiful colors, many of which I had never beheld before. Such peace, such harmony seemed to abound, and the dear brother whispered to me, "Sister, you have heard of that peace that passeth understand. It is that which you experience now. It is the peace of heaven which the world cannot give." It seemed so delightful to be in the midst of such beautiful scenery and pleasant company, and feel that time was not passing and one would not have to think of some duty that might call him away. After delightful music, vocal and instrumental, and several interesting talks by different members of the company, all were invited to meet in the palatial home of Joseph Sampson. This was a palace of grandeur, a short distance from the grove where the festivities had been held. The building itself appeared to be formed of white crystal with soft light over it like the colors of an opal. There were no doors to the building, but it was a very easy matter to glide in through the walls. The interior of the mansion exceeded my brightest dreams or imaginings of palatial grandeur. Down the center of the building was a long archway about 50 feet wide, and a marble fountain in the form of an angel throwing up sprays of fragrant colored water. Red lotus flowers were growing in the basin of the fountain, and gorgeous hued butterflies and birds of brilliant plumage were fluttering about like flashes of brilliant light. The long archway itself seemed to be formed of electricity. I learned that the occupants of this delightful mansion were ancestors of my father and had been many years in the heavenly world and were very highly spiritualized individuals. Upon either side of the archway just mentioned were pictures upon the crystal walls, many of which I could not understand. They did not appear to be paintings, for they kept changing to different scenes. As I was trying to fathom the mystery, a scholarly-looking angel in a white tunic belted at the waist said to me, "Think of something that you would like to see reproduced." I thought at once of the dear mother far away upon the earth plane, and lo, Her picture in life size appeared upon the crystal walls of the spiritual beings who passed through this place, many of whom had been developing and unfolding for thousands of years. It occurred to me that one should be very careful of his thoughts and train himself to high and lofty ideas. Chapter 4. Heavenly Mansion, continued. Content in this chapter: Gallery of Art, The Masters, Magnificent Paintings, Projected on the Walls of the Palace, Eternal Judgment, God's Love, Rainbow Booms, An Arch of Amethysts Described, Music Hall, Instruments Played Without Hands, How, Wondrous Power of the Spiritual Mind, The Laboratory, Wonders of Science Explained, Problems Worked Out, Like a Beautiful Dream. It was delightful to be privileged to enter such a place. It seemed to me that I must be worthy or I would not be permitted, but still I could not but wonder how one who had so lately passed from earth with naturally many weaknesses should be privileged to meet here with such highly developed beings. After passing through the long archway, we came to the Gallery of Art, where there are works of art from many of the great masters, Michelangelo, Murillo and others who had never lived upon the material plane. Never in my life had I looked upon such magnificent works of art. The paintings had been produced upon the walls and were not hung there. About each picture were brilliant stars of different colors, and these made a sort of frame to the picture as well as showed it in its proper light, some pictures requiring a blue light, others rose color and still others a soft, mellow, yellow light. What a place this is for the lover of art! I thought to myself how happy must have been the artist who was privileged to produce the work of his soul amid such peace and exquisite harmony. One picture that I admired very much was entitled The Eternal Judgment, showing the love of God. It seems that Michelangelo, while he was on earth, painted a masterpiece at some entitled The Last Judgment. In that picture he depicted the wrath of God upon the Day of Judgment. After Angelo passed to the spiritual world, he saw that he had made a mistake in painting his Last Judgment, and so whenever he might be permitted in the homes of heaven, he produced a heavenly masterpiece showing the love and compassion of God for his weak and erring children. I must not take too long a time in describing the pictures, for there were many of them, many thousands in fact, and it would be impossible to enumerate them all. Leading out from this gallery of art were the rainbow rooms. These rooms were arranged in the form of a rainbow, being formed of the colors violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange and red. The violet room was inlaid with amethysts. They were set so closely together as to form a broad arch of solid amethysts. The next room was set with dark blue jewels, having the shape of diamonds. The third room was of light blue jewels. The fourth was of emeralds. The fifth of yellow topaz, the sixth of a deep orange jewel whose name I did not know, and the seventh was formed of garnets and rubies. The interior of each of these rooms was of the same color as the exterior, and beautiful jewels shed their light upon the articles to be found in these rooms. What a wonderful home this is! I was continually wondering what new wonder was to appear before me. The music room and concert hall were very inspiring with the tones of soft, melodious music vibrating frequently, with no hands touching the instruments. I learned that one had but to sing an air to himself and immediately the vibration would be produced upon the delicate toned instruments, and they played music sweeter, softer and finer than any ever heard upon an instrument of earth. I began to see now the wonderful powers of the spiritual mind, unhampered by the physical. I was interested in the scientific laboratory of this magnificent home. Here all the wonders of science were made clear. Electricity was explained and how it works, the difference between magnetism and electricity, how inspiration was given to a material brain by an angelic being, the birth and evolution of a thought, gravitation and many, many things that I cannot explain in writing. Many scientists of heaven were gathered in this laboratory, and when they had worked out some wonderful idea, they immediately took it to the earth plane and gave it to Tesla, Flammarion, Edison or some other inventor by way of inspiration. It was certainly very wonderful to learn of the many forms of electricity. I saw many scientific problems worked. Peace shall prevail in the uplifted soul. out successfully that the material world will not be ready for many a day. It seemed that I spent days in that delightful home, but there was nothing to indicate the flight of time, no weariness, no darkness, or no hunger. It was certainly very delightful. It was like a vivid, beautiful dream. The people that I met inspired me with their intellectual force and spiritual ability. It will certainly be very helpful to me, I thought, to have had this experience. One other very interesting room contained collections gathered from the higher spheres, many of which I have never formed the slightest conception of before. Later on in my writings I will explain this celestial room. Born day we say, and turn our eyes toward the fair hills of paradise, someday, sometime, a sweet new rest shall blossom, flower-like, in each breast, someday, sometime, our eyes shall see the faces kept in memory, someday their hand shall clasp our hand, just over in the morning land, O morning land, O morning land. Next is, Chapter V. Return to Earth. Content in this chapter. Inner experiences, retrospect and anticipations, thankfulness, sense of spiritual growth, journey to Earth, beauties and enchantments, etc., novelties of fruit growing, unimaginable phenomena, the picture of the universe, centest R, vibratory effects, queer appearance of the moon, astral inhabitants, astral communion, the bright spot. The impressions produced upon my spiritual mind during my visit to the delightful mansion in the heavenly world were so deep and lasting that I shall be able to recall them through all the years of eternity. All the while I was enjoying myself, I could feel vibrations sent from the dear mother far away upon the earth plane. I felt within my soul that the time would come when I would be able to reveal myself to her and tell her of my new and wonderful life in the heavenly world. My soul was filled with thanksgiving and I thanked the Creator of all life for my existence. I thought if one might go on forever in such delightful harmony, what a pleasure it would be to live. Already I felt my spiritual mind expanding and growing in my new and beautiful life. It did me good to look at my dear brother so grand and imposing in appearance. I wished that his mother might see the child whom she gave to heaven at a tender age, grown into a tall, handsome angel with a grand head crowned in masses of waving black hair. I wondered if he would have looked so imposing in appearance if he had not had the opportunities that had been given him to unfold and develop in the spirit world. We spent many hours in the delightful home I have mentioned, and as we passed out to return once more to my own new and beautiful home, my mind was filled with wondering thoughts. There was so much before me still to learn, so much to assimilate in my spiritual mind. It seemed as though I had spent the most delightful afternoon of my life. In reality I had spent, according to material time, several days. My soul felt as though it had wings, and the thought occurred to me that I must return to Earth and if possible send out some helpful vibrations to the dear ones who were grieving for me. The dear brother decided to accompany me and we set out for the journey. Of course, my brother had made the trip many times, so it was not so much of a novelty to him as it was to me. I felt that I had gained much since passing from my physical body, and my soul rejoiced in the fact. It was a different route over which we passed from the one by which we entered. We entered by way of the spirit world, but upon this occasion we passed through the angelic spheres and out of the beautiful gate. I was delighted with all that I saw before me, and was as interested as I had been before my entrance into the wonderful country. It seemed to me that I had never looked upon such beautiful flowers as were growing everywhere. I could see the fruit trees upon one side, pink and white with blossoms, and upon the other side many varieties of fruit all upon one variety of tree. The grapes seemed so odd to me, many of them no smaller than good-sized apples, but possessing neither outside skin nor seed of any kind. People upon the material plane might ask how they held together without skin or seed. If they could understand the laws and forces by which spiritual elements are governed, they would not wonder at such a thing. Upon my journey I witnessed phenomena that I could never have possibly imagined had I possessed only material knowledge. The angelic, Spiritual and heavenly worlds were all radiant with light as we passed through, and the beautiful gateway glowed in the soft, peaceful atmosphere of heaven.